My Career, Part 1. During my time at university, I had a part-time job on Saturdays and during my holidays at a men's clothing store in the city centre. I informed the owner that I was now a dropout, and I made sure that he understood that it was entirely Standard Bank's fault. In fact, I remember inquiring whether the store banked with him, as I have no doubt that I would have made it my mission to ensure that the account was closed if they did. Fortunately for Standard Bank, they banked with the opposition. Standard Bank would learn to regret their mistakes. Because I was a pretty good salesman, the enlightened management of the store saw their opportunity and grasped it with both hands, and I had my first full-time job. I saw this as a transition period during which I would evaluate my options and get some direction as to where I was headed. The next 2 months were spent peddling clothes and studying the jobs advertised in the classified sections of the daily newspapers. Finally, I identified something that looked interesting to me. The advert stated that the company was looking for a salesman of about 25 years of age, with experience, to sell accounting machines and computers. Now, you have to put this into context. In 1981, the microcomputer was only being born. This looked like a winner to me, and the fact that I was only 20 and had no experience was not important, at least not in my mind. I applied for the position at the personnel agency, and they made an appointment for me to meet with them. In those days, you got to meet the personnel agent, and then you presented them with your CV at the first meeting. Poor buggers. No wonder they've changed their approach. In fact, I think they now use the term screening to make their days more pleasant and no doubt more productive. During my interview, the personnel agent was somewhat surprised at my CV or lack thereof, not to mention that I was applying for this position. She politely inquired as to my knowledge of computers, and being the honest person that I am, I told her that I knew exactly nothing about them, but that I was a fast learner. She was quite diplomatic in her efforts to dethwart my focus from this position, as I was only 20 and had no experience. She was, in fact, very encouraging about some other positions that I should apply for, given my considerable CV that I had to offer. I was not about to let up on this opportunity. Call it youthful exuberance, or perhaps it was confidence that I had developed, having honed my selling skills by peddling clothes full-time. I decided that it was time to go on the attack, so I asked her how she could support a theory that said an experienced 25-year-old could be more successful than me at this job. Where exactly was her mind? She had a wishy-washy response that had something to do with experience, blah, 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 blah. What the innocent lady didn't count on was my next pitch, which went something along the lines of, "Well, if you don't allow me the opportunity to meet with the company and allow them to be the judge of my potential, how will I ever manage to gain any experience in this field?" I knew I had her when she uttered, "Okay, the personnel manager of this large company is a personal friend of mine, so I will do you a favor by introducing you to him on one condition. You will meet him not for an interview for this particular position, but to allow him to determine whether you have an aptitude for computers as a career." Bingo! I was on my way, but I had one last question. "Which company does he work at?" "Olivetti," she replied. My appointment was set up for later in the week. I knew I had to prepare myself, so I went to the public library and started to educate myself on computers. You know, bits and bytes and that sort of stuff. Nervous as all hell, I met with Paul Jansen at Olivetti. Clearly, he had been properly briefed by the personnel agent, as the first words that he uttered to me confirmed that I was not being interviewed for the position that I had applied for, but only as a favour to his lady friend. Not that this perturbed me in any way. I had evolved. I had my original sales pitch, and by now I had learned what the difference was between a bit and a byte. I had improved eightfold. He was one of the kindest, most polite people I have ever met. The poor man never knew what hit him. Eventually he agreed that I had every right to believe that I was capable of being successful in the job. He decided to invite me to their evaluation process, which entitled a battery of tests that lasted an entire day. He said that after this step, they would then be able to determine whether I had an aptitude for this computer stuff. Maybe it was also an easy out for him, because if I performed dismally, he could easily tell me to go back to selling clothes without feeling guilty. A couple of days later, I reported for my day of humiliation. I'd shot my mouth off, and now they were about to find out that the motor powering the mouth had more noise than grunt. Believe me, by the end of the day, I felt that my brain was fried and that I had embarrassed myself beyond acceptable levels. I was told that I would be called in a day or two to let me know what the next step was. I slunk back to the world I knew best at that stage, peddling clothes to those unfortunate and gullible people who did not know that they could not afford them. A couple of days later, a secretary called me and told me that I had an appointment with Paul the following day. I accepted, but I was hesitant to make the meeting because I had this nagging feeling that he wanted a personal confrontation, possibly to get his payback after my assertive sales pitch, which I had made him endure. I attended the meeting, but my body language was certainly a little different this time. He started slowly, explaining the nature of the tests and what they indicated, and then, without skipping a beat, he offered me a job as a computer programmer. Where was his mind at? He reiterated that my scores were extremely high for this field, and I had found my calling. "Programmers do not make money. I'm not interested," was my response. My body language had by now improved. The results were out, and I had not embarrassed myself. Well, not yet. I would like to be considered for the salesman's position. I wasn't giving up on this opportunity. I'm not sure if it was because he believed that I might succeed or because he felt the best way of dealing with me was to give one of his other colleagues the proverbial hospital pass and refer me to him. But nonetheless, I had made it to the next step. Robbie Abraham, National Sales Manager of Olivetti, was politely asked to evaluate a brash 20-year-old as a personal favor to Paul. By now I was learning how business worked. Everything seemed to be based on a personal favor. I met with Robbie and he liked me. He enjoyed my enthusiasm and he felt that I had what it took, so he referred me to the branch manager who ran the region with the vacancy. I met with Giovanni Mottolini and subjected him to my sales pitch. By this time I had it down pat. Eventually, after much deliberation, they contacted me and made me an offer. I could join on a 3-month probationary basis. They would give me a sales target that was the same as that of their most experienced salesman at the time. I was told that I would have to achieve the target in this period, and if I didn't, then that would be the end of my career at Olivetti. Gleefully, I accepted. What they had neglected to tell me was that they would only give me a couple of days' training, which at the time meant, here are the manuals for the equipment, read them and learn. Anyway, I reported for duty and set about trying to learn exactly what I was going to be selling. They assigned me a geographical territory, printed some business cards, and left me to it. I remember sitting at my desk saying to myself that I had asked for this, so I'd best get on with it. Got into my car, drove to an industrial area and began selling. This meant going from door to door and trying to get to see any senior manager who would be prepared to give me 5 minutes of his time to allow me to publicly embarrass myself. I made a promise to myself that I would never lie to a customer or pretend that I knew something that I didn't. What did help was the strong name that Olivetti had back in those days. They were the leaders in accounting machines and solutions, so it was a natural progression for them to move into the personal computer or PC market. Without a shadow of a doubt, this was the most humiliating period of my life. Several times a day, I would be asked a question that I could not answer, even the basic ones like, how much memory can your PC be upgraded to? My typical response was, sir, I'm not sure of that, but I will check it out and get back to you. I soon became used to my embarrassing lack of knowledge, but I learned quickly. I also learned that my prospects respected my total honesty, and this made it easy for them to trust me. As soon as I had someone who was interested, I would call in Giovanni to help me. It was not long before I made my first sale with his help, and then another and another. I made my target before the three-month period was up. I was given my formal letter of appointment. I had proved myself that with hard work I could achieve anything. Anything I set my mind to. I felt liberated. I worked for Olivetti for a year. At the end of the year, I was the second best performing salesman in the country. This was measured as your percentage achievement of your quota or target. Most importantly, I was enjoying myself. Giovanni was then offered a senior position at Barlow Microcomputers, a company within the Barlow Group, with which had the distribution rights for Panasonic PCs, and within a month he contacted me and offered me a sales position there. The pay was a lot higher, and it showed me that my previous branch manager believed in me, so I did not hesitate to accept the offer. Lessons learned. 20. If you really believe that you are capable of doing something, then you are. But nothing comes easy, so you have to work your hardest to achieve it. 21. Never lie about your knowledge or lack thereof, as the truth will always come out. 22. People will deal with you if they believe you are 100% trustworthy. So the objective is to get them to realize that as soon as possible. 23. Do not be afraid to embarrass yourself in a positive way in your pursuit to achieve success. Remember the old adage, no pain, no gain. 24. Never confuse confidence and arrogance. It is a fine line that separates the two.